Welcome to I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here, an audio blog from Jigsaw PSPH. This week, Mary Portis Blues. More points in the bag thanks to an excellent win at York and 3 days away in sunny Dorset. It's not been a bad week, although deciding to walk up Haynesbury Head in February could have given rise to a rare case of South Coast frostbite. While I was away though, one thing really came home to me while trying to buy a pair of shoes. How incredibly our high streets have changed. Now time for a bit of sexual stereotyping that I'll put a disclaimer on before I start. But for most men of a certain age, shopping has never really been a valuable experience, more usually one born out of necessity. So when one pair of shoes that have seen me through 3 football seasons and the same number of Speedway summers finally decide to call it a day, even I realise a replacement that has to be sourced. There I return to the days that high streets were buzzing places and I had the choice of Dulces, Freeman Hardy and Willis, Saxones and many other fine shoe retailers who I quickly realise have gone the same way as my beloved brown lace-up. So where's the public health point in all this rambling? I hear you cry, or maybe you just wandered off to make a cuppa until I come back to the point, which is well-being. We say lots about health, but despite everyone having a health and well-being strategy, it's the W word that consistently gets left out, probably because no one can really fully tell you what it is. In simple terms, I suppose it's all those things that combine together to make us happy or otherwise. So back to high streets for a moment and the government's push to make them into social places bustling with people, services and jobs. To help him do so, the much maligned Eric Pickles has signed up retail guru Mary Portis, and quite an imposing double act they make, I'm sure. They've selected 27 town centres to revitalise with £100,000 each, which seems a good start until you begin to look around and think, will it really make any difference now you can acquire anything you want at the click of a mouse or by sticking your index finger on a screen? And if you don't fancy that, you can travel to an out-of-town superstore to purchase anything from a new set of tyres to a packet of jammy Dodgers. A lot of town centres now are a long line of charity shops that do a great job and provide me with a good line in cheap books, a number of coffee houses that have their own reputation problems, a few banks or building societies, and if you're very lucky, the occasional food shop that doesn't have branches throughout the country. It's hard not to think that the rot set in many years ago when the first superstore appeared on a ring road somewhere. As a result, over time, the social heart of town centres has really disappeared, with more and more shops closing. Whilst appealing to some of us, bringing back the halcyon days of the past isn't really the answer. It may suit our well-being, but how about the iPad generation? As my dad used to say, you can't please all the people all the time, which probably means a state of well-being for the whole population is impossible, even if you are Mary Portis. Now, when my mum gave me a lecture because I bought muddy football boots onto the hall carpet, I quickly realised that it required that wide-eyed sorry look perfected by the puss in Shrek to get me out of trouble. Obviously, Malcolm Walker, chief executive of Iceland, never adopted that approach. Yes, it's horse meat again. And unlike certain other retailers who've been in full tail between the legs, we're going overboard to put it right mode, Mr. Walker has decided to come out fighting. Interviewed by the BBC's Panorama, he declared, "I know exactly what's in our products. If I turned up at Kellogg's factory asking to test their cornflakes, they'd tell me to go away." Well, a slight bit of editing there, as this is a family show. He then went on to say, "We're constantly testing our products every week. Did we test for horse? No, but we didn't test for dog or cat either. There may be dog and cat. You can't test for everything." Whoa, Malcolm. I fear you may have opened the door. You should have kept locked shut there. He was, though, insistent that British supermarkets still have the best food safety standards in the world. A mighty claim from a man who probably won't be welcome on the Emerald Isle again, after other disparaging remarks made about the Irish nation. Interestingly, on their website, Iceland rightly apologised for that, but there was no word about the cat and dog comment, which does make you wonder. With his lack of tact, maybe Malcolm Walker fancies a new challenge, as this week saw Channel 4's The Hotel come to an end, as Mark, the hapless owner of the Grosvenor in Torquay, was finally forced to sell up. Now, if the new owners are looking for a PR man to keep the hotel on the Forty Towers map, Maybe Malcolm is just the person they're looking for. Another thought struck me as I was wandering around on the south coast, and that was, what happens when every food establishment has a 5-star rating? In the reverse of Yazzie's 1980s disco hit, does it mean the only way is down? Yes, I know there's an argument that it raises standards, and generally I'm not disputing that, although rather like all public focus campaigns, there will still be a hardcore of diners that won't care if Fred's Greasy Spoon has minus 5 stars, as long as he still serves up an all-day breakfast for under £3. By the way, my use of Fred's Greasy Spoon was purely illustrative and doesn't refer to any living establishment. Just don't know who's listening these days. It's rather like smoking cessation. The recent batch of grisly adverts will, I suspect, do very little to discourage those who've already ignored all the campaigns of the past. But back in food hygiene rating land, surely the other thing we should be doing is a bit of joined-up thinking. A colleague of mine recently went into a major fast food chain that shall remain nameless, although it is represented by a red-haired clown and has a university in East Finchley. She was offered medium or large portions of everything, but not small. When she inquired why, she was told it's not company policy to promote small portions of anything. So with one hand, the rating on the door is saying your chances of suffering food poisoning in the immediate future are low, but failing to mention, because you've been tempted by the latest supersize offer, your chances of a life of obesity, including type 2 diabetes, is right up there with the favourites at very short odds. As we started by looking at what does well-being really mean, seems in a number of cases we don't have much of a coordinated view of health either. The biggest challenge facing public health going into local government is the state of public finances. So said Dr. Jessica Allen from the UCL Institute of Health Equity at the recent Guardian Public Health Dialogue, the video of which also features a certain Jigsaw PSPH representative in the background. Glad I remembered to wear the nice shirt that night. Of course, she's absolutely right, but there is also still a general lack of understanding of how local government outside major conurbations works. Two-tier authorities have been left trying to maintain their own services in the face of massive budget cuts, while also supplying the workforce that county public health teams will need in order to secure improvements. Partnership working is the only way forward, but with many district level councils not getting involved in the process and April just around the corner, I fear there's a rocky road ahead. Well, that's just about it, except to give a plug to edition 2 of the new Jigsaw newsletter, which came out this week. Yet to feature as a guest publication on Have I Got News For You, but every bit as exciting as some of the entries for this year's Diagram Prize, which celebrates the oddest book title of the year. Now, I wonder if I can find a copy of How Tea Cozies Change the World or How to Charm the Pencil next time I stroll down the high street. See you next week. I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here is presented and produced by Pete Hill for Jigsaw PSPH. The opinions voiced are purely personal, not linked to any other body. If you want to join the debate, why not follow the Twitter feed at Jigsaw PSPH or join the Jigsaw PSPH Public Health Forum on LinkedIn.